The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
Todd, just wanted to tell you, started reading your book last night and it is as good as I knew it would be. Keep carrying that flag, brother. When you come to Statesville, the barbecue is on me.
Woo! All right, that's what I'm talking about. Hello, everybody. And by the way, thank you. That's Dennis, who sent us a shout-out from Statesville, North Carolina, just before we went on the show today. And I want to say thank you and welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Glad that you are with us today. We got a lot of crazy stuff happening, a lot of breaking news underway up in Washington, D.C., and we're going to get to all of it today. I want to hear from you if you've started reading the book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. I know many of you have already gotten your copies, and I'm very anxious to hear what you have to say about the book. And give us a call. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And we're going to be taking your calls on the book as well. I had to get up at the crack of dawn. Grace Baker's killing me. I tell you, I think she's like trying to put me in an early grave. I had to get up at 4 o'clock this morning. Jeez, Aloo. There's a cable news channel called News Nation. And they're like, oh, yeah. We want to talk to you about the book. And I'm like, all right, I can do that. We can certainly do that. And so anyway, I get up at the crack of dawn. And the poor makeup lady doesn't even get up that early. So I had to go with my, what do you call it when you don't have any makeup on? My nude face. It was rough. And so anyway, we finally, the appointed time comes in the interview and we talk about everything except the book. I'm like, what's this all about? Anyway, we've been up since the crack of dawn and doing a lot of interviews. It's been a lot of fun, but I am glad to be hanging out with you right now. So look, President Trump is under fire for something, and I want to get your thoughts on this, because I actually agree with Donald Trump. So Trump was doing an interview, and he was being asked about Chuckie Schumer. And Schumer has been spewing a lot of anti-Israel propaganda. And Trump was asked about this. He was doing an interview with our good friend Sebastian Gorka, Dr. G. And Trump just laid it on the line about Schumer and these Democrats who are still supporting the Democrat Party, even though they are siding with the pro-Palestinian crowd. Cut number 13.
Could you explain why is it seemingly that this administration, including Chuck Schumer in the Senate, hate the man that Israel chose as their prime minister? Why do the Democrats hate Bibi Netanyahu?
I actually think they hate Israel.
Yes.
I don't think they hate him. I think they hate Israel. And the Democrat Party hates Israel. And the Democrat Party, if you remember, when many Israeli representatives, including Netanyahu, when they came to the country trying, begging, at that time President Obama, please don't make the Iran nuclear deal, which is a disaster and was a disaster. And I ended it. But unfortunately, they didn't do anything with the ending of it. I ended it and would have had a new deal made with Iran. It would have been good for everybody, and there would have been no nuclear weapons. You know, they're very close to getting a nuclear weapon right now.
Yes.
And once they have that, it becomes a different form of negotiation, a much more difficult negotiation. But they, I really believe they hate Israel, and they also see a lot of votes. Don't forget, when you see those Palestinian marches, even I'm amazed at how many people are in those marches. And guys like Schumer see that, and to him it's votes. I think it's votes more than anything else, because he was always pro-Israel. He's very anti-Israel. Now, any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion, they hate everything about Israel, and they should be ashamed of themselves, because Israel will be destroyed. You have Iran now making a nuclear weapon. None of that would have happened with me. That's a big thing.
All right. So that is a truth bomb, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm curious, do you agree with President Trump there, that Jewish voters who continue to vote Democrat hate Israel and they hate their religion? Now, I want to go a step further. I want to suggest that Catholics and Protestants who vote for Democrats also hate Jesus and they hate their religion. And here's my argument for this. So over the past 3 years, we've seen the Biden administration infiltrating the Catholic churches. They've used the FBI to stage raids on the homes of law-abiding pro-life families. They've gone after moms and dads who don't want their kids exposed to kiddie porn in these school libraries. And they've all but said that all of us Christians who follow the teachings of the Bible and Almighty God are radical extremists. They think we're the bad guys, not the Muslims that are flying jetliners into buildings. And they believe that we are the most pressing threat to the homeland, not the Muslims who are stabbing people and chopping people's heads off. That would be the people from the religion of peace that inevitably leave the rest of us in pieces. So I'm curious to hear from you. Why do you believe that the Democrats hate God? I have a theory, but I want to hear yours. And do you agree with President Trump's assessment here that if you are Jewish and you're still voting for a Democrat, that you hate Israel and you hate your religion? I mean, for crying out loud, they were spying. They wanted to recruit priests to spy on parishioners. How sleazy is that? And look, I mean, the FBI is pretty darn sleazy, but it looks as though Peter Strzok and Lisa Page would be like, I don't know, choir people compared to what they're doing now. I mean, this is unheard of. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to get your take on that. There is some audio on this. People are really upset. They're now accusing President Trump of being an anti-Semite. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you? You shameful man. You mean, mean Protestant man. You. You Jew hater. That's what they're calling him. Anyway, Jake Tamper went off on all of this. Cut number 20.
This hour, another shocker from Donald Trump, showing nothing, not even one's faith, is off limits in 2024. If you're an American Jew who votes for Democrats, Donald Trump says you hate your own religion and you hate Israel and you should be ashamed of yourself. We should note, American Jews vote Democratic roughly 70% of the time. So that's a lot of Jews that Donald Trump just attacked. Monday, former Trump White House aide Sebastian Gorka asked Trump about criticism that prominent Democrats, including President Biden and Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, have aimed at Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Take a listen.
Why do the Democrats hate Bibi Netanyahu?
I actually think they hate Israel.
Yes.
I don't think they hate him. I think they hate Israel. And the Democrat Party hates Israel. Any Jewish person that votes for Democrats hates their religion, they hate everything about Israel, and they should be ashamed of themselves, because Israel will be destroyed.
It's a fairly shocking thing for a presidential candidate to say about any religious minority, but
really?
About Jews at this time of rising anti-Semitism in the United States, it is certainly noteworthy. This is not the first time he has lashed out at Jews who don't support him. Just last year, around the High Holy Days for Jews, Trump shared a social media image that said liberal Jews who didn't support him, quote, voted to destroy America and Israel. But that was a repost on Instagram or Retruth or whatever. The White House was quick to respond to Trump's latest comments, saying, quote, as anti-Semitic crimes and acts of hate have increased across the world, among them the deadliest attack committed against the Jewish people since the Holocaust, leaders have an obligation to call hate what it is and bring Americans together against it. There is no justification for spreading toxic false stereotypes that threaten fellow citizens. None, unquote. That was putting it nicely compared to what the Biden campaign had to say, which was, quote, the only person who should be ashamed here is Donald Trump. Donald Trump openly demeans Jewish Americans and reportedly thinks Adolf Hitler, quote, did some good things. That last bit is a reference to comments Trump made in private to his then chief of staff, retired General John Kelly, according to CNN's own Jim Sciutto.
And I don't believe a single bit of that. But let me say this about Jake Tapper. If you want to talk about spewing propaganda, yeah, CNN really does resemble the communications arm, the propaganda wing of a certain nation back in the 1930s in a place called Germany. Or as the New Yorkers say, Germany. The G is silent. So let me say this, and we've got to run to a break here. The reality of it is this. If you are a Democrat right now, your political leaders hate Jews and they hate Christians. And the reason why they hate Jews and they hate Christians, they don't hate the Muslims, right? They leave the Muslims alone, but they love to target the Jews and the Christians. And here's the reason why. It's very simple. Because our founding documents are all flavored by the Judeo-Christian teachings, right? That's it in a nutshell. You see, Jews and Christians believe we are one nation under God. Democrats believe they are God. That's what's going on here. They don't like the competition, so they're trying to shove God out of the way. Anyway, they hate you. Jews, Christians, the Democrats hate you. And Trump is right. If you keep voting for Democrats knowing they hate you, you're a moron. Did he say that? No, I said that. You're a moron. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Folks, if you have not done so, head over to my website and click on the store. You'll be able to get a personally signed and inscribed copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. I would love to do that for you. Coming up, we have breaking news involving Turning Point USA. We'll be right back. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and in just a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You'll have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. And you'll see transparent pricing on every coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. And this new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. That's legacypminvestments.com or call 866-649-0304. That number again, 866-649-0304, and start investing today. All right, good to have you back with us, everybody. Now, one of the things that we just really don't appreciate and we don't tolerate are public universities that bully conservative students. We don't do that here on this program. And we've got a problem at the University of Memphis where tonight Kyle Rittenhouse was scheduled to speak and is scheduled to speak. He is speaking on behalf of Turning Point USA, TPUSA, and there's been a lot of controversy. So the very latest now is that university officials late last night held a mandatory meeting with TPUSA student leaders, and basically they ambushed these kids. And it's pretty despicable the behavior of these faculty members, administrative members, and I'm going to give you names and telephone numbers here momentarily because we're going to call these people out. But I want to bring into the conversation Ben Dieter, host of the morning show on KWAM, who's been following the story, breaking all of this news. So Ben, I know right away when this event went up online, you have to register for a ticket. And what happened?
So over 22,000 people in the city of Memphis had secured a ticket for this event. Now, I'll ask you, Todd, do you think all 22,000 of those ticket holders were good actors?
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not. So what the university is deceitfully doing is citing security concerns, also claiming that TPUSA and the way that they ticketed their systems was not equitable. What does that mean? They were discriminating who they were giving tickets to, not giving them to black students, which is categorically false. So late last night, the chapter of TPUSA at the University of Memphis gets an email by administrative officials saying that we are going to commandeer the ticketing system, and all of those people that believe that they had tickets no longer have tickets. They will have under 8 hours to grab a ticket, and that all went live this morning.
So it went live, and so basically they revoked everybody who signed up, and that's just literally everybody. So the actual authentic students who were going to go to this and the activists, everybody got revoked. Then they had to come back and they had to re-register through this university system.
That's correct.
And now nobody can get a ticket.
And not only that, so the room is actually named after a civil rights leader in the city of Memphis. So as you can imagine, the fact that Kyle Rittenhouse is going to be speaking in that auditorium has every leftist in the city of Memphis and their heads exploding. But that's not the point. The point is they now have capped how many people can come. The auditorium is 400 seats within that setting. There is only a cap of 300, and so fill in the blank. I mean, it's not shocking that not many good actors will be attending tonight's event.
So we have a copy of the email that was sent from the university to the TPUSA students, and it was pretty threatening. They're saying our concerns include the considerable mismanagement of issued tickets that prohibits our ability to provide the appropriate safety and security. And we knew this was going to happen, right? They always go over the safety and security. I remember a couple of weeks ago, they allowed the anti-Jew crowd, the pro-Hamas mob, to hold rallies on campus. Those rallies were not permitted. They didn't go through the proper vetting. The TPUSA kids went through all of the proper steps to get this event approved before they started promoting it.
And not only that, because so many radical activists in this city are threatening violence against this chapter and also Kyle Rittenhouse, the university is now slapping these exorbitant amount of fees onto this student chapter. Not only the fees for security, but also a parking fee. Other groups pay a couple hundred bucks to secure a parking lot for their event. Theirs is through the roof. So there's no question, this is without telling them that their event should be canceled. Cancel your event.
So they brought in the chief legal counsel of the university and all these big wigs, and basically they read the students the riot act.
Mm-hmm.
And Melinda Carlson is the person who sent the email. She is the vice president for student affairs, and I want to pass along her contact information. And I just think it's very inappropriate that anybody should be treating kids like this. And here is Melinda Carlson, the Vice President for Student Affairs at the University of Memphis. Here's her telephone number, 901-678-3351. It's on the email. 901-678-3351. But here's the final sentence. You, Turning Point, must advertise the reticketing of the event on the same venues originally advertised. Failure to adhere to the above deadlines may result in the cancellation of the event. Can you stick around for another segment here?
I can. You're my boss.
This is so infuriating, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a matter of whether you like Kyle Rittenhouse or not. This is a matter of free speech on a taxpayer-funded university campus. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Agree, disagree? Hey, we hear all sides here. Our God-given freedoms are facing unrelenting attacks. It's a battle for truth, and the only way we win is if we stand together. Hi, I'm Todd Stearns, and thankfully, Alliance Defending Freedom has been defending our rights for 30 years and winning. Right now, they're involved in two critical cases before the Supreme Court. They're suing the FDA for endangering the health and safety of women and girls. And in the second case, they're assisting the state of Idaho to defend its law protecting the lives of women and their unborn children against the Biden administration's attempt to override the law and force doctors to perform abortions. And they need your help. With your best gift, you courageously join ADF in fighting critical Supreme Court cases against government lawlessness and help defend our cherished freedoms. So call 855-417-6556 right now or go to toddstearns.com and click on the ADF banner. With your help, I've already pledged to raise $17,000 by March 31st for ADF. Go to toddstearns.com or call 855-417-6556 to make your best offer right now. I know with your help, we can beat that goal and help make a generational difference for freedom. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. So the latest from Turning Point USA, Kyle Rittenhouse, scheduled to speak tonight at the University of Memphis, and now university administration is doing everything humanly possible to make sure that does not happen. Here in studio, Ben Dieter, host of the morning show on KWAM, and Ben, you broke the story earlier today. I have to imagine it's pretty aggravating for the TPUSA crew.
I mean, their whole thing is, whether you like Kyle or you don't like Kyle, where we're going to stand on this issue is with the First Amendment. It is literally in our Constitution. It is a Bill of Rights. And their other message to their peers at the University of Memphis is, even if you don't like Kyle, that is fine. We're not forcing you to show up at tonight's event. You don't have to show up. But for the other kids that just want to hear from Kyle Rittenhouse, please respect the event. I don't suspect that will happen. We're planning and expecting to see probably some pretty big protests at the University of Memphis, and of course, we'll be there.
It's insane. I want to play some audio here. This is from a TikToker who's very upset that Rittenhouse is being allowed to enter the city limits. Cut 11.
University of Memphis, I just got one question. What the you got going on? And when I mean what you got going on, I mean this. Like, who thought this was okay? Who in their right mind thought this was okay? Because, sir, you're not going to the University of Memphis. No. You're going to the University of Memphis, and you got to get your cap back. Nobody is sitting there being like, yes, sir, I want to hear your story of why you was walking down the street with a whole clip in the AR just shooting my kind for no reason at all. Yes, I would really love to hear your side of the story. No. Why? Why? Y'all just trying to rally black people up? Is that the thing?
I believe he meant to use the word rile. Sir, educate yourself. And by educate yourself, this guy is clueless. He thinks that Kyle Rittenhouse was out there shooting black people.
His kind.
Not
everything is about you. Kyle Rittenhouse did actually shoot some people, but they were white dudes. And
they were attacking
him. Acting in self-defense, and a jury found that. So, again, it goes back to misinformation, and I think that's the real problem here with this story is they believe that Kyle Rittenhouse is the biggest threat since, I don't know, sliced bread. I don't know. I mean, Todd, it's unbelievable.
I wonder, is it possible that, I mean, because I went through this registration process this morning. It's a bit cumbersome. And so I'm just wondering here, do you think the university was in cahoots Do you think with the Black Lives Matter crowd, you think it's possible that they may have been given, you know, early advance warning and scooped up all the tickets for tonight?
I think there's the real possibility that that is the case. To release this information in an email, a very nasty one, one of which you read just a couple minutes ago, to these young students at the University of Memphis and telling them that all of the good people that got tickets could no longer have their tickets. And that happened, what, eight? I mean, we're talking hours before the event actually takes place. It's a little bit nefarious. I just hope people show up. And I would say to our audience in the Mid-South, if you didn't get a ticket, you should show up anyways.
Absolutely.
Show up in demand to get in. And if they don't let you in, we'll be there as a support for a lot of those students because the protests, I think, are going to be pretty big.
It's a taxpayer-funded university, so taxpayers, you've got a right to be there, and you should. Be peaceful about it, but I can assure you that BLM and that mob, we know what they do, and we know what they're up to, but, you know, Be peaceful.
You know, I've gotten quite a few emails by our morning show listeners, and they want to attend the event, but because they are not allowed to have a firearm at the event, they are not going. And I think that just speaks to the level of violence, the rhetoric that is mainstream by the Democratic Party. So I still say when they get loud, we get a little bit louder. Now, Todd, you did give me some roles as I cover this event tonight. I can't throw the first punch. No,
okay. Punching, but you can take care of yourself.
Okay,
so you can take care
Thank
of yourself.
You.
All right, very good. All right, well, Ben, appreciate the update there. It's a disturbing story, everybody, and the reason why it's disturbing is that the University of Memphis is not standing up and defending free speech. That's the problem I have, and they're also bullying these Turning Point USA students, and it seems at this point, Turning Point USA National needs to get involved. They need to get their lawyers down here, and they need to have these conversations because this cannot be allowed. I'm sick and tired of conservatives being stifled on these taxpayer-funded university campuses. It's got to stop. And the only way it's going to stop is if good people like our listeners rise up and do something about it. So if you're in the Mid-South area tonight, I would encourage you to go and support Turning Point USA. That's what I would do. Ben, thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Todd.
Right,
congrats on the book.
Thanks.
We're all proud of you.
Good luck tonight. All right. Ben Dieter, everybody. KWAM Radio. By the way, one of the top radio morning shows in America, according to one of our great industry trades. So, look, I've been telling you for several weeks now, our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom are literally the best in the business when it comes to standing up for men, women, and children who are being stepped on by out-of-control government. I mean, we have heard from some of their top-flight attorneys, as well as many of the clients that they have helped in big cities and small towns. ADF is going to be back at the Supreme Court next week battling the FDA. Now, they illegally lowered safety standards for abortion pills. This is insanity. Today, we're going to hear from Dave Block. He was a snowboarding coach and a good one. His school district in Vermont, that's where he was at in Vermont until he was called in one day and he was fired. So Dave Block was fired for telling the truth. Listen.
Two of my players and I were sitting together at a table. The conversation turned to whether male athletes should compete against female athletes. I said that even though I recognize that people may express themselves, what matters most when it comes to sports is the very real differences between the sexes. I was accused of violating the district's harassment, hazing, and bullying policy. That's censorship, and it violates the First Amendment's guarantee of free speech. That's why, with the help of Alliance Defending Freedom, I filed a lawsuit.
All right. Well, Dave is right. Public schools should not be able to fire a teacher or fire a coach just because they don't like his opinions and he expressed his free speech rights. So here's what I want you to do. We need to be able to help out people like Dave Block. I want you to go to my website, toddstearns.com. Click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner at the top of the page. That's toddstearns.com. Our goal, $17,000 that we are raising by the end of the month. We can do this, folks. I've got great confidence that we can do this. But again, click the banner, toddstearns.com, or you can call them 855-417-6556. We'll be right back. Mike Lindell and MyPillow employees want to thank my listeners for your continued support. And to thank you, they have an overstock clearance sale right now for the best prices ever when you use the promo code STARNS, and you get free shipping on your entire order. Get 50% off the MyPillow 2.0 and the brand new flannel sheets that just arrived. Won't last long, folks. Get a six-pack towel set for only $29.98 and take advantage of the free shipping on larger items like mattresses and mattress toppers, 100% made in the USA, on sale for as low as $99.99. Everything goes on sale, from the brand new kitchen towels that have the same technology as the bath towels. They absorb dog beds, blankets, couch pillows, so much more. To get the best offers ever, go to MyPillow.com and use promo code STARNS or call 800-839-8506 and get free shipping on your entire order while supplies last. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is the Todd Starnes radio program. So just a little while ago, the Hunter Biden hearing up on Capitol Hill took an interesting turn. Tony Bobulinski went after Congressman Jamie Raskin, calling him a liar to his face. Cut number 18.
Yet the same people preaching this mantra know better. They continue to lie directly to the American people without hesitation and remorse. Rep. Dan Goldman and Jamie Raskin, both lawyers, and Mr. Goldman, a former prosecutor with the SDNY from New York, will continue to lie today in this hearing and then go straight to the media to tell more lies. Hunter Biden's defense attorney, Abby Lowell, weaponizes letters to Congress to try to smear my name.
Mr. Chairman.
The cold hard facts,
Mr. Chairman,
in an attempt to save his powerfully connected client and his father. I challenge Mr. Lowell to make those claims on national television so he can be held accountable for his lies. Prior to my successful business career, I was an officer in the United States Navy. At Navy's elite Naval Nuclear Power Training Command, I later served as the command's chief technology officer.
I apologize for the disruption from the...
Okay. Am I supposed to say it's my time, Mr. Raskin?
Yeah. But please, Mr. Bobulinski, please.
Okay.
Come to order. Mr. Bobulinski, please proceed.
Okay.
Please proceed. I apologize for the disruption from the minority.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, save his time, but he called members of this committee liars, and I just want to know whether the order and decorum requirements of House Rule 11 apply to witnesses appearing before the committee. Does it apply or does it not?
There's decorum from the members. We've asked for that. There's no language that I'm aware of pertaining to a witness.
Yeah. Thank you.
So don't make sure we didn't waste any of his time on the opening statement.
All right. So there you have it. Now, Bobulinski is the former business partner of Hunter Biden, and Jamie Raskin did not seem to appreciate the fact that Bobulinski was calling him out. Just a little after that, we had this exchange. Here's Congressman Jim Jordan, cut 19.
The ranking member just said that, Joe Biden was opposed to corruption. Really? So opposed, he leveraged $1 billion of American tax money to fire the prosecutor in Ukraine who was investigating Zolochevsky at Burisma, the company Hunter Biden sat on the board of. Wow. And the prosecutor who replaced Shokin, that Mr. Parnas referenced in his opening statement, Mr. Lutsenko, guess what he did? He took Zolochevsky off the wanted list and dropped the charges. Wow, he's really, really opposed to corruption there. Mr. Bobulinski, who's the big guy?
Joe Biden.
Are you sure about that? Because when...
Joe Biden.
Sure? You're sure?
I'm 1,000% sure.
Because when Hunter Biden did his deposition under oath, he said, I don't know who it is, even though he was copied on an email that said H will hold 10% for the big guy. You sure it's the big guy is Joe Biden?
1,000%. And there's other text messages that back that up, that the brave whistleblowers, Shapley and Ziegler, have produced, not from my phones, not from my BlackBerry that I took screenshots from. They took them from subpoenas directly from Apple's iCloud that back up the fact that Hunter knew the big guy was Joe Biden.
The big guy is the brand. The big guy is the lift. The big guy is the one who showed up at golf outings, who did took phone calls and meetings and lunches and dinners with Hunter Biden and his business associates. Is that right?
Correct.
All right. Well, there you go. They're laying it all out there. Where all of this goes is a little unclear. We've been down this path many, many, many times, but we shall see if, in fact, anybody gets, if President Biden actually, well, we shall see. We shall see. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So there's a movie out, and, you know, I wouldn't say I'm a cinemaphile, but I do enjoy going to the movies, and actually now I just wait till they come out on the, on the iTunes, the Apple TV thing. And the reason why is I don't like going to the movie theaters anymore. It's, you sit there and the floors are sticky and you want to get up and maybe you want to get some popcorn and you get up and your shoes are stuck to the floor and you find yourself in your sock feet. And then you've got to pay, what, $20-$30 for a little thing of popcorn. And you got to pay another, what, $15 for your Diet Coke. The milk dud's going to set you back about $12.50. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And I don't like carrying around cash in Memphis. So anyway, I just wait. You know, I go down to Super Low and I get myself some Orville Redenbacher. And I get myself a Baptist Martini, a six-pack even. And I'll even buy some milk duds. And I come out under $20. That's pretty awesome. Anyway, there's a new movie out, and it's called The American Society of Magical Negroes. And haven't seen it, but apparently it's anti-white. And the movie describes white people as the most dangerous animals on the planet. Are we? Are we really the most dangerous animals on the planet? I'd like to think of us white folk as cute, cuddly little things, you know. We're like, you know, we purr. You know, we just mow our grass and take out the garbage. And if we see litter, we pick it up and we put it in the receptacle. We obey the traffic laws. I think we're kind of docile creatures, but I don't know. I may be wrong here. It's been said I'm pretty fly for a white guy. That's what it's been said. So anyway, this movie out there, apparently a lot of people were not going to see the movie, Cut 12.
I know you can feel their discomfort, Aaron. Watching you walk through a room full of white people was the most painful thing I've ever seen.
Excuse me. Sorry.
And I want to take you to a job interview.
There's a recruiting class starting right now, and we got to get you in it.
Welcome to the American Society of Magical Negroes.
So I don't really understand.
It's easier to say.
What's the most dangerous animal on the planet?
Shark.
White people, when they feel uncomfortable. White people feeling uncomfortable precedes a lot of bad stuff for us. That's why we fight white discomfort every day. Because the happier they are, the safer we are.
The name needs a little updating, maybe like magical black people, or I guess that doesn't have the same ring.
The American Society of Magical Negroes. Oh, I remember back in the day when there was the great song from, Rush Limbaugh, the Barack the Magic Negro. Oh, that was, I got folks in trouble back in the day. So anyway, there you go. Apparently, the movie only made $1 million on opening weekend in the entire nation. The entire nation. May I? I'm just going to offer some commentary on this because I think I might know why. One of the reasons is that you have all of these people out there that go to the movies and they spend the money on all the popcorn and they spend the money on the milk duds and they spend the money on the, you know, the gallon of Coca-Cola. And those people are called white people. And they I'm not too sure that white people should feel obligated to show up and buy a ticket so that they can be shamed for, I don't know, what, 90 minutes or however long this nonsense is. The American Society of Magical Negroes. Would you go and watch something like that? And by the way, it just sounds to me like it's, I don't know, what is the word I'm looking for? Racist. That's what it sounds like to me. Just a little bit of racism. And a pretty crappy plot. So you tie all of that in, and maybe, just maybe, they should have redone the trailer and made it a little bit more, I don't know, Caucasian friendly. What do they call us? The most dangerous animals on the planet. I object. I object. 901-260-5926. I just don't understand these people. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Doug in Georgia. What say you, Doug?
Todd, what I say regarding this movie is that Malcolm X would be rolling over in his grave. Quite contrary to what most white people think about Malcolm X, he ended his very militant approach to white people basically months before he was assassinated. Anybody that wants to understand race in the United States, I strongly advise read the autobiography of Malcolm X. I always thought that he was the scariest, nastiest person in the world, and there were times he said very nasty things.
Well, Doug, that music means we've got to scoot out of here. Look, here's the deal. I don't understand why we have to see everything through race in America, right? We're Americans. It doesn't matter what our skin color is, and there's nothing magic about that. Doug, appreciate that. Got to take a break, folks. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that would be me. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the program, hour two of the big show. Trust you are doing well today. We got a lot going on. By the way, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, you'll be able to watch the Todd Starnes Show on Newsmax 2. So grab yourself some popcorn and settle in for some great conversation. All right. By the way, I want to say thank you to two bookstores, the first being Barnes & Noble and the other being Books A Million. Now, yesterday, I went over to we have two Barnes & Nobles here in the Memphis area, and went over, and they are stocked full of books, my books, and met the team there, and we had a great conversation. They took some pictures as I signed copies of the book, and I'm very concerned, though, and I'll have to talk to Mary Walter about this in just a moment. My concern is the book placement, because others apparently have books out, and we're all on the front table together, and I'm right next to Rachel Maddow and her book, and then on top of me. So if you're looking on top, it's really not physically on top, but it's higher up than mine, is Liz Cheney's book. Still, appreciate the fact that they're stocking conservative books at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million. And so anyway, if you want to, wherever you are across America, go to your Barnes & Noble and you'll be able to, or Books A Million, Target, Costco, wherever you get your books, you'll be able to get a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming. Mary Walter, host of the Mary Walter Radio Podcast and an avid skier, is on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Mary, trust you're doing well.
Well, I did catch a cold in the plane. The woman sitting next to me was breathing like a stuffed up pug. So I got her a cold. So I got a cold. But this too shall pass. It's just a cold. So it's not a big deal. And by the way, I'm not an avid skier. My husband's the avid skier. And so I had to learn how to ski because of him. So, you know, there's that.
Well, it was good. But you had a good vacation. You were out west and hitting the slopes.
Yes, and I saw young Kyle, which is fantastic.
Our former board op. Kyle is over there. Good for him and doing well, I trust. I saw you and Mr. Walter had him fed and watered.
Yes, yes. That young man did ski with two senior citizens. So he skied with us all day, and then we took him and his lovely girlfriend out to dinner.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, it was a great picture. Nice. Thank you for texting that to me, by the way.
Of course. So, I have a question for you now.
Yes.
You said Liz Cheney's book is higher, a better place than yours, right?
Well, I didn't want to say she was on top of me.
Go ahead. Why not say it? It'll make for great radio.
All right. So Liz Cheney's on top and Rachel Maddow's the side piece.
Oh, wow. Well, the question is, were either of their books discounted to 99 cents?
Not yet.
Okay. Because if they were, like, that's the coup, right?
That would be the coup.
Right.
But the problem is, I do look around and a lot of these, they're like piles and piles of books and it looks like people are just not buying them. So who knows? We'll see. But my book, it's selling like hotcakes.
I was going to say, I find that hard to believe that no one wants to read your book because your books are great.
Well, no, I was talking about Liz Cheney and Rachel Maddow.
Oh,
their books,
of course.
Piles of them.
Todd, listen, liberals don't like talk radio. They don't listen to that. They don't read books. It's no wonder they're ignorant.
It's true. It's true.
You know?
So there you go. Anyway, thank you for that, Mary. Hey, look, elections yesterday, I thought it was interesting. In Ohio, and I want to get your take on this. In Ohio, they asked people, what is the number one concern in your state, in the Buckeye state? And to a person, they said that it's immigration. Why do you think that is?
Because now that they're getting the illegal immigrants into their state and they're not staying in Texas and Arizona, they suddenly find it to be a problem. Isn't that weird how that happens? Where it's okay as long as it doesn't affect you. Yeah, sure, fine. Then all of a sudden, wait, so you want me to open my house to take people in because I voted for a sanctuary state? Well, I don't think I can do that. You know, it's all about virtue signaling, and this is where the rubber meets the road. When the rubber meets the road, all of a sudden, all the virtue signalers are like, well, I didn't mean it. And that's what's happening. It's happening all over the country. The question is, though, whether they will vote for more of this or whether they'll sit home or, God forbid, vote for Trump.
That's a fair point. And I was doing a show. We're doing a lot of book promotional stuff, and I was doing a radio program earlier today. And the conversation turned towards, well, you know, what is Trump going to do to get the 20% who did not vote for him in the primary? And I would assume that those people would be voting for Trump in the general election. Otherwise, they're morons.
You know what, though? First of all, I was shocked by 20%, some of those numbers of people who voted quote unquote other, just a protest vote. But you have to bear in mind that some of these primaries are open. So Democrats can cross over and vote in a Republican for a Republican candidate or write in other or whatever to hurt Trump. All right. So that can be done. Republicans can do it to Biden, but they have a tendency to not do that. So I take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. But I know people who just hate Trump. They hate his personality. And no matter how many times I explain to them that he's not coming over for dinner, who cares what his personality is? They just won't do it. They'll sit home. They're going to protest, vote. They're going to, you know, take their marbles and hold their breath. And you can't do anything about them. There's just nothing you can do about them.
Yeah, I don't think it doesn't matter what Trump says. They're not going to, you know, they're not going to cast a vote for the guy.
Exactly.
Look, and I remember, Mary, I hated John McCain, and he's just a really nasty, nasty guy. But you know what? He was the nominee, got the vote. He still lost. And what did the establishment say at the time? Well, just you conservatives, shut up, vote for the candidate. Same thing with Mitt Romney. But now when you've got the conservatives have their guy, Trump, now all of a sudden it becomes an issue. Well, you know, you get behind your candidate, period.
I agree with you. Unfortunately, though, there are too many who just don't like him. And I keep trying to tell people, vote for policy, not personality. You're not voting for the president of a high school class who's going to give you free, you know, chocolate milk in the lunchroom. That's not what's happening here. This is a much bigger picture. But the media has been so successful at poisoning the well for Trump. They've done a wonderful job. You know, I'm sure that Marx is probably, you know, sitting up in his grave and applauding right now for what a wonderful job they've done with propaganda. And we need to start calling them out. When you're on X, when you're on whatever social media it is you use, I flat out call them propagandists and they don't like it. I'm like, but you're a propagandist. And then they usually run away. We have to start calling these people out and holding them accountable for the things that they're saying that are untrue.
Mary Walter, host of the Mary Walter Radio Podcast on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Mary, today the House Republicans holding public hearings on the Biden family, influence peddling. I've just lost count. I don't know what we're investigating, who's getting investigated anymore, because it really doesn't matter because nothing ever really happens.
Exactly. Republicans are so terrible at this. Why are they so bad? Why can't I've been saying this forever. No one listens to me. It's annoying. Now I know how my mother felt when we were kids. Why don't they have like a big chart? Show it to me in a graph. Make it simple, stupid, right? Just that's what they have to do. This is the money. Here's the flow of the money. Why don't they have a chart that shows the flow of the money so everyone can understand it and it's right there in black and white? But they don't do it. And it's the same questions over and over and over again. And I keep hearing that they have enough. We could send subpoenas. We could, you know, well, then do it. Don't tell me what you can do. Don't tell me just you have enough now. Do it. It's annoying. This is why I'm not a registered Republican, because I don't sign up for losing teams.
No, I'm with you, and I'm getting close to doing that myself. I have a lot of friends who are Republican. I want to support their campaigns. I want to support the Republican Party, but they're really not giving us a reason to support them. And it's stuff like this. Let's just get to it. Why this is a waste of time is what this is, because nothing ever happens. Nothing ever comes of it.
Pelosi would have had Trump indicted and every member of the Trump family and cousins and uncles and the little kids who are getting money, they all would have been indicted by now. And there would have been 14 more impeachments. But Republicans do nothing. It's just maddening. I stopped watching it because I said, you know what? I've heard these questions before. Hunter's not there. Why didn't they send out a subpoena to have him arrested? Hunter's not there. Why don't they do that? Peter Navarro reported for jail because he was held in contempt, right? Because he didn't show up in front of the January 6th committee. So why is Hunter still walking around? Because Republicans don't have what it takes to actually enforce the law. They have the power, they just don't have what it takes.
It's a fair point, and you're right. Peter Navarro, look at Eric Holder for crying out loud. He was found in contempt of Congress, never set foot in a jail.
Well, he wasn't really going to call the police on himself, was he?
Fair enough. Fair enough.
There is that. You know, I mean, he was the attorney general, so I really don't think he was going to say, hey, you guys want to come and arrest me? So.
It's insane is what it is. Just absolutely insane. And again, it is a waste of time. And it's a distraction at this point, unless you're actually going to do something. And then, okay. But at this point, at this stage of the game, this is all just it's theater. It's political theater.
The next excuse, mark my words, will be, well, we can't subpoena anybody now because it's too close to the election.
Yes.
Which
is why we can't shut down the government. They'll blame the Republicans. And, you know, so we'll just kick the can down the road again.
Yep. Well, this has been depressing.
Wow. I know. Jeez-a-loo. All right, Mary. Have you seen the movie, by the way? We were talking about this, the American Society of Magical Negroes. Have you seen that film by any chance?
They didn't show it on the plane, so no, I missed it.
Oh, geez. Well, that's yeah. So apparently you and most other white people on the planet did not go and see it. And
I've never even heard of this thing. What is it?
It's called the American Society of Magical Negroes. And the basic premise is that the most dangerous animal on the planet is the white person.
Then why is it called the Magical Negroes? Because I was thinking more like a David Copperfield thing going on.
I know. Every time I hear the title, I keep humming to myself, Puff the Magic Dragon. Remember the old Barack the Magic Negro song that Rush Limbaugh used to play all the day? The rage back in the day.
Tis a throwback. So it's a racist movie, and shockingly, no one went to go see it because I don't think anybody's heard of it either.
Mm. No, this is true. It's true. So it only made about $1 million. So that was
it. That's a million too many. But, you know, you figure like the actors and actresses, their parents probably went, you know. Yeah. But
maybe BLM. I don't know.
You know what happened? They probably had a Republican do the PR for it, and that's why nobody's heard about it.
Hello. All right. Mary Walter, fresh from the slopes. Mary, always good hearing from you. And tell us about the podcast. Who's coming up on the show?
Well, it's not till Tuesday. I didn't do one last night. I had a, today's Wednesday, right? So I didn't have one yesterday. I had a, when I got home, I had been putting, I had a small surgical procedure. So, nothing happened yesterday. So I don't know who's coming up on Tuesday. I haven't really put a lot of thought into it because I'm still taking good drugs.
All right. Well, good stuff. Well, it is. Well, all right. Just enjoy your drugs and, drink some wine or whatever and, kick back.
That's what I've been doing, just hanging out. It gets a little... I probably only have one more day of just hanging out, doing nothing left to me before I have to get up and do something.
Well, you can check Netflix. The American Society of Magical Negroes might be on there already.
Or I could watch The Real Housewives.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Mary Walter, everybody. Thanks, Mary.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, folks. Got to take a break here. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. Coming up a little bit later, Congressman Barry Moore is going to be here from Alabama. Also, Troy Miller, president of the National Religious Broadcasters, is going to drop by. President Trump sat down with our friends at Breitbart News for an interview, and the president was asked a question about why more women and why more minority voters are going to be voting for Donald Trump in this election cycle. And the president said it's very simple. It's about safety and it's about security. And he said those two issues are driving women and minority voters to not only him, but also the Republican Party. Trump sat down with Breitbart for about 90 minutes last week at Mar-a-Lago. The polls are showing numbers that we've never seen before, by the way, with women, black, and Hispanic voters. And we're looking at what could be generational demographic changes and shifts. That's what we're looking at here, folks. Trump says they don't feel safe with this lunatic. He's a terrible president. He's the worst president in history. He's the most incompetent and most corrupt president we've ever had. He's willing to weaponize the Justice Department to go after his opponent. Nobody ever thought it was that was going to happen in this country. It happens in a lot of countries in the third world, banana republics, but nobody ever thought they'd see that. But above all, I believe they want security. The president continues and says they don't want people knocking on their door saying we're taking over your house. That's really where we're heading. We're heading to a nation like we've never seen before. Do you believe that? Ladies and gentlemen, and I'm curious, especially among our female voters, is that why you are voting for Donald Trump? Our minority listeners, is that why you are voting for Donald Trump? Because of safety and security? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I mean, we hear this all the time out on the road, that people are just sick and tired of the crime and the corruption in this country. They're disgusted by the weaponization of the federal government. The idea that a man like Peter Navarro, charged with a misdemeanor because he was found in contempt of this committee, this Liz Cheney committee, and now all of a sudden the guy's being hauled off in shackles to a federal prison for 4 months. That is not normal. That kind of stuff, and if we could get the phones here, that kind of stuff is simply unacceptable. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. But this is what happens when they weaponize the judiciary. And ladies and gentlemen, if they could, the Democrats at this very moment would throw Donald Trump in jail. If they had the opportunity to do that, that's exactly what they would do. Let's go to Patty in North Carolina. Patty, why are you voting for Donald Trump?
Oh, Todd, come on now. Let me tell you something. Donald Trump's going to be okay. I believe that, you know, but Donald Trump needs help. It's not Donald Trump's not going to put a cape on and flying in November 5th and take care of everything. He needs a lot of help. He needs help from the people from the country, from the United States. He cannot do this on his own. Everybody thinks, oh, Trump, let Trump do it. Let Trump do it. Woo-hoo, right? No, he can't do that. Todd, you know that. He needs help.
He does need help.
Okay, Todd.
No, he does need help, Patty. And that's, you know, that's the issue. Will his fellow Republicans rise up and stand alongside of him? Because whenever the rhinos have a candidate that's running, Romney, John McCain, it's always the same thing. You conservatives, shut up and get in line. Well, you know what, rhinos? It's time for you to shut up and get in line. All right, got to take a break here, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and we're very happy to have you with us today. And this is Book Launch Week, and we would love for you to go over to toddstarnes.com and get yourself, you can order it right now, a signed copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. President Trump wrote a great endorsement, as did a number of other lawmakers up on Capitol Hill. Of course, you can also find it at any major bookstore across America. But if you'd like a signed copy, you can go to toddstarnes.com. All right, I want to bring into the conversation a great friend from the incredible state of Alabama. Congressman Barry Moore joins us from the 2nd Congressional District. Congressman, thanks for coming on the show today.
Hey, Todd, so glad to do it. Thank you for having me on.
So, Congressman, a lot going on. We were talking earlier this hour about the situation at the border and this exit polling data coming out of Ohio, where Ohio voters, just like every other voter so far in a primary or caucus state, says that it's immigration. That is the number one issue on the ballot. Are you hearing the same thing from your constituents?
Yeah, I don't even think there's a close second right now, Todd. Obviously, immigration is an issue regardless of your demographics, your party politics, your leanings, whatever the case may be. The border crisis is something that every American is beginning to realize. I mean, it's just this invasion we have on the southern border. Doesn't matter if you're – even the sanctuary cities, they're crying uncle right now. And so I think it's an issue that our party can win on and we need to run on. And I, like I said, I don't even see a close second right now.
Well, it's certainly a big issue here in Tennessee. And, of course, we've been following the story about Tyson, the chicken company, getting rid of American workers and bringing on illegal aliens. How big of a deal is that for you as a lawmaker?
Well, you know, we've got a lot of poultry production. We're a big ag district down in South Alabama. But, you know, I actually was speaking to a group in my home district a few months ago, and I had a fellow, he was a Democrat. He came up to me and he said, I think we've been duped. And I said, what do you mean you've been duped? And he said, you know, all these years they told us that an ID was racist and that we didn't need the IDs to vote. He said, but they're going to replace us. And he was talking about the Democratic Party, and that's what's happening in labor forces and schools and veterans, where we're kicking kids out of schools and putting illegals in. You name it, brother. Those people are starting to wake up, and I think that's why we're going to see a really move of those communities towards somebody who's willing to secure that U.S. southern border, and that's why I think it's the top issue right now on the ballot.
You know, Congressman, the Obama federal judge yesterday ruling that illegals have a right to purchase firearms. So I just want to make sure I understand where we're at now. So the Democrats have allowed millions of illegals to breach our borders. Most of these people are young men of military age, and now they are in our country, and now they have a right to go out and purchase a firearm. Your reaction to that?
Well, it's very similar to what they did in the blue cities years ago. They said, oh, you don't need firearms. Don't worry. You can call the police when you're under attack. And in the next breath, but we're going to defund the police. So U.S. citizens now who can't get a firearm in certain cities and certain municipalities and certain areas of the country. But we're going to arm these folks coming across the southern border. And we know there's MS-13. We know there are bad actors in those groups. We've seen the crime-ridden cities from these illegals coming in and abusing and raping and kidnapping and killing, like Lake and Riley in Georgia a few weeks ago now. It's insane that we're going to say, yeah, we're going to arm those folks and continue to disarm American citizens. They're making victims of their constituents like they did in blue cities. Now they're trying to do it on a national level.
This is a frightening, frightening concept here now that you could have illegals going out there purchasing firearms and committing crimes. And Congressman, you and I both know that there have been reports that many countries south of the border have just emptied their prisons and they're sending those people right to us.
Yeah, I mean, Todd, we had Chad Wolf a couple weeks ago come in, and he was DHS under Trump. And he said, you know, he said, we've caught about 300, and I think there were 380 on the terrorist watch list. And he said, folks, those are the dumb ones that we caught. We don't know how many are here. Never mind the 2 million gotaways and the gang members. And it's just insane to think that they can go buy firearms now while law-abiding citizens in America can't exercise their Second Amendment rights because they're trying to abide by rules. And this group comes in and says, but these crowd, we don't know who they are. We don't do background checks. They can buy all the firearms they want. They're going to, again, they're putting America, like when you said scary, brother, it should be sobering to see what's going on with this administration and the danger that they put in American people in.
Congressman Barry Moore joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Congressman, government funding still, we understand from the speaker that some sort of a deal has been reached. Is that accurate? And where do we stand on a vote?
We have not seen the text. I know they're trying to get a vote done this week on it, Todd. My concern is it's $1 trillion in taxpayer money. It's going to be approximately 2,000 pages. And they're going to give us 24 hours to read it. So for me, they're violating the very rule to give us 72 hours to see what's actually in the bill before we vote on it or pass it to find out what's in it. Pelosi said.
I'm sorry, hold on a second. So you're saying Speaker Johnson's only going to give you guys 24 hours?
That's the rumor on the street. If they try to get us out of here by Friday, if we don't get the text until later tonight or tomorrow, then we're supposed to have a 72-hour rule that the Republicans put in place. It gives us time to review what all's in this stuff. And look, I don't trust Mike Johnson, but I certainly don't trust the executive branch and the Democrats within these halls of Congress to not slip some stuff in there that is very bad. And we've seen that. I mean, just the spending like drunk sailors up here, and that's an insult to drunk sailors. They want to spend another $1 trillion and give us just 24 hours to look this over. That is a no-go for me, which I've already said. I am not voting for a single funding bill for the government until they secure the U.S. southern border. That is the number one crisis. That's my stance on it, and I've signed a pledge to do that. I'm saying we're not spending another dime to secure the border. The American people demand that. We should answer to them, and we should solve that issue up front before we spend any more money.
All right. Well, Congressman, we've got to leave it there. Appreciate the update here. We're going to be paying very close attention, but I'm with you. We've got to give you guys plenty of time to read through this 2,000 pages of spending here. I was going to call it squalor, but it may be more appropriate. All right, Congressman, God bless you. Thank you now.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Appreciate you.
All right. There you go. Did you, folks, come on now. Speaker Johnson's got to give him the 72 hours. 72 hours to read through all of this nonsense. All right, I am very intrigued here. I want to go to Betty, who is calling us from North Carolina. And Betty was at the Cracker Barrel. And Betty, I understand there was an incident there. Why don't you tell us what happened?
The transgender. My daughter and I went to the Cracker Barrel to have lunch. And I requested that I am not served by this man. My daughter calls him a transgender, but he had tattoos everywhere and a nose ring and what do you call that thing in his tongue? I don't know what you call it. And I just said, I would appreciate not being served by him. I said, it's revolting to me. And some manager came over or was directed by the manager to come over and tell us, if you can't, if you don't want him to serve, then you're not welcome. My manager said, you're not welcome in the Cracker Barrel. And they asked us to leave. So I only had, my daughter had coffee and some more soup. And I had tea and I left. And we didn't pay for it. We just walked out because they told us to leave. So I guess at this point, they are a woke company. I will never allow this. I am a conservative Christian. And they will not push it down my throat.
Well, Betty, so when did all of this happen?
Just about 15 minutes ago.
15 minutes ago.
So
let me get this straight. So you go into the Cracker Barrel, and you're seated, and at that point, the waiter comes up. Is that right?
No, I requested that I do not get a serve
this one with tattoos and everything all over him.
Okay, so the guy had, so was he, you said he was transgender or just that he had tattoos?
No, he had tattoos. Heidi, I can't tell. My daughter keeps saying he's transgender, but he had tattoos all over him, everywhere. His face, his arm, and his earrings in his ear, and I think there was one in his nose.
Oh, my.
And it's just revolting to me. I'm sorry. I just can't tolerate it.
Wow, at Cracker Barrel.
Yep, and that's right on there with that. That's right off of the highway, off of 26.
They're in what, in the Hendersonville area, is that right?
Yes, correct, in the Hendersonville area. Right.
All right, well, we're going to try to find out what's going on. So they asked you to leave because you didn't want to be served by this guy that looked like some sort of, I don't know, dystopian freak show.
The server we had was lovely. Her name was Lori. And I said to the woman, I said, I have no problem. I appreciate that they gave me Lori because I could not tolerate him.
But then they still came back and told you to leave?
Yes, they told me to leave because the manager, because the manager said we had to leave because all of his servers get the same treatment. And he will stand by his server. So we were asked to leave. So I left the table and what was on it. I mean, I will not, Todd. I'm a conservative Christian, as I said, and I will not tolerate this. I will never go to Cracker Barrel again.
Wow. All right. Well, yeah. Betty, I appreciate you letting us know this. What do you like to order when you go to Cracker Barrel, by the way?
They really don't have that.
My daughter is so upset over it. I don't blame her. What do I like to order? I get a fish plate.
Oh, the fish plate. Yeah, I'm a big fan of whatever the fried chicken or the meatloaf is very good there as well. But again, to your point, I don't want some guy with a big old gauge sticking out of his tongue and he's got the big holes in the ears like at some, you know, National Geographic special. You know, you want to be served by someone who is pleasant.
Exactly. Right. He's revolting to me.
Do you guys have a Piccadilly? Right. The Piccadilly's pretty good. And I think, you know, I don't think they have tattooed people there.
I don't know where that is. We
okay.
Don't have a
All right. Betty, thank you for the update. We're gonna reach out to the Cracker Barrel to find out what's going on there. And certainly, this is very unfortunate. And I can't imagine, you sound like a sweet lady. I can't imagine they would throw you out of a Cracker Barrel.
Yeah, well, they did.
Oh, boy.
I mean, And so I think, is it woke? I'm quite sure it is.
Well, you know, when they started serving the plant-based sausage, that was it for me. I said, "Uh-oh, that's not good. That's not good." All right, Betty, hang in there, and thank you for calling. That's Betty in North Carolina, and as near as I can tell, I don't think the person was transgender, but the person was tattooed, so maybe something got lost in translation there. But anyway, she went, and there's a guy, and he's got the tattoos, and he's got things like, I don't know, safety pins sticking out of his cheeks. I didn't know exactly the kind of person she's talking about. And it seems to me, unless you're going to be like, you know, I don't know, sticking your order on the server to make sure it doesn't get lost, I don't know. Do you think that Betty was right to ask? She just asked for another server. I can't imagine that they would order her to leave the restaurant. She sounds like a sweet grandma there. Wow. But she likes the fish. They have good catfish there. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, and do us a favor. We're encouraging you to call the University of Memphis, and we want you to tell them to stop bullying TPUSA, Turning Point USA. Reach out to the Vice President for Student Affairs. Her name is Melinda Carlson, and they're trying to shut down. They're trying to cancel an event without canceling the event. These people are pretty snaky. They are sneaky, too, but they're snaky, too, Dylan. 901-678-3351 is that telephone number. That's 901-678-3351. And it doesn't matter if you don't live in Memphis. Give them a call. You're a taxpayer. And this is unacceptable. We've got to make sure that free speech is protected at the University of Memphis. Unbelievable. I thought they were doing the right thing, right? You know what I mean? We were giving them a good shout outs and like, way to go, University of Memphis. And then we find out that they're just snakes. Snakes. Again, 901-678-3351. All right, let's go to Danny. WDUN in Georgia wants to weigh in on President Trump's financial situation. Hi, Danny. What you got for us?
Hey, Todd. It's good to talk to you. I'm not a first-time caller, but I'm still scared to death. It scares me to have to do this. But we've heard and we believe that the economy is going to get better if the Republicans get in charge. Is that not correct?
That's the rumor.
That's how I believe it. I do. And I believe that if ex-president becomes president again, which I certainly hope so, he's my man, a lot of Americans will benefit from him being our president. We will have a better country. You agree, right?
Yes, sir. And he hung up. He hung up. I was waiting for it. All right, give us a call back. Let's go to Robert, North Carolina. Hi, Robert. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. How are you today?
I'm well. Thanks for asking.
I'm just letting everybody know Republicans need to get out there and early vote. I did this year, and I voted for Trump. I've been a Trump ever since 2016. I voted for him, and I was a Democrat before, Todd, but I'm telling you, listen to Rush. His last 8 months on this planet, and listening to you now, you've all turned here to where I can see the hatefulness in these people, and who could do what they've done to Donald Oliver. He's been a great man. He's come into my little town here in Mills River several times, and to the places where the Mexicans work and everything. And he's all the Mexicans and stuff that live around us here, they kind of like him because he said he'd let them come here and work and do. I mean, and that was way before they opened up the borders, but, you know, you have to be legal. You know, he wasn't just going to let them come over the border and not vet them or nothing. So,
it's a great point, Robert. Well, look, I first of all, welcome to the Republican Party. And, I think a lot of people are waking up and they're understanding that the Democrats have been anti-American for a very long time. And Donald Trump is really opening up eyeballs all around the country. All right, got to run, Robert. Danny, we've got you back. Got about 45 seconds here. Go.
What I'm saying is the country would be better off with a Republican president, with Donald Trump president. All the Republicans would benefit. Why can't they be a money set aside somewhere? All of his Fox and Friends used to be on there, not no more. But anyway, why can't all these?
All right, I'm not sure what's going on there, but Danny, sorry, we need to get to the point, and unfortunately, we're coming up on the top of the hour. All right, folks, coming up, more conversation, including some new intel on this bond that President Trump has to pay. What happens if he cannot pay it? What's going to happen? I was on News Nation early this morning talking about this and sort of went at it with the anchor because I have a theory about what's about to happen in New York City and what this could mean for the president. So stick around. Again, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, head over to ToddStearns.com, click on the store, and get yourself an autographed copy of the new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. What a strange day it's been around here. Dylan, I just don't understand some days. I go downstairs to get a cup of community coffee, and some guy tried to force his way into our studio. What a crazy story. So I thought it was the delivery guy at the news bunker, and some guy tried to I opened the door thinking it was – the guy just forces his way in, and I know we're Southern, and we're supposed to be hospitable, but I shoved his butt right back out the door. So –
As you should have.
As I should have. That's right. Jeez, Lou. So we got the Ring video footage.
This is why you shouldn't answer the door, Todd.
Yeah. I thought I was being helpful. I thought I was being...
See what you do when you try to help.
At first, I thought, jeez, Lou, this is it. This is it. Dylan's going to have to do the last hour of the radio show. Holy smokes. So this is what happens. Well, this is life in Memphis, Tennessee. What are you going to do? So welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Everybody here is good. Everybody's okay. But this guy, we don't know who he is or what he was wanting. Well, he said he wanted gas money. But he's been driving around. So maybe if he stopped driving around, he would have plenty of gas. I don't know. Very strange. So this literally just happened in the last few seconds. So we're a little discombobulated. Jeez, Alou. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. The good news here is this is not NPR, and so we don't want to give too many details, but several of our staff members engage in their constitutional rights and the Tennessee rights to conceal carry. So just be warned, all of you criminal thugs out there. Folks, we've been telling you about our radiothon for Alliance Defending Freedom. And this is an organization that I care very passionately about. And the reason why is they are standing up for people like me. And they are defending my freedom and my liberty. And I want to tell you about a guy by the name of Dave Block. He was a snowboarding coach. And this guy was a rock-solid snowboarding coach in Vermont. He was called in one day, and he was fired. And the reason why Coach Dave was fired is because he simply told the truth.
Two of my players and I were sitting together at a table. The conversation turned to whether male athletes should compete against female athletes. I said that even though I recognize that people may express themselves, what matters most when it comes to sports is the very real differences between the sexes. I was accused of violating the district's harassment, hazing, and bullying policy. That's censorship, and it violates the First Amendment's guarantee of free speech. That's why, with the help of Alliance Defending Freedom, I filed a lawsuit.
And Dave is absolutely right. Public schools should not be able to fire a teacher or a coach just because they don't like their opinions. It's called free speech. So they are standing alongside Dave Block, and that's one of the reasons I want you to join this campaign. It's not about, you know, a lot of times it's all about the legalese, and it's hard to understand. I get it. But these are people we're talking about here. And that's why I love sharing these kinds of stories with you. Alliance Defending Freedom, they don't charge a single penny, and they represent their clients free of charge. And they're able to do that because of people like you and me. And so I want you to go to ToddStarnes.com right now, and I want you to help us out. We're raising $17,000, and I'd like to hit the $7,000 or $8,000 mark today, if possible. And we can do that by you going to our website and making a donation. Again, ToddStarnes.com, and click on that Alliance Defending Freedom banner. All right, I want to go to Rich in Jackson, Tennessee, listening to us on WTJS. Rich, what's on your mind today?
How you doing, and congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate that, Rich.
I tell you what, I'll get real quick. The stuff like Vermont, I'll see what I can do. It just never ends. What was it, real quickly, Todd, that Barry Goldwater said about in defense of liberty or something? Do you remember?
Not right off the top of my head, Rich. I'm still trying to get over the fact I haven't shoved a guy out of my building a few minutes ago. Sorry about that.
That's all right, because I'm getting ready to order a burn a gun real soon that is non-lethal, but yet... I'm not even going to have a lethal gun. They'll get you in more trouble than you can get out of. But I want to say something about the and first of all, Netanyahu is the only hope for Israel, like it or not. And here's my point. The guy that called in and kept dropping off, I think I know what he was getting ready to say, and I agree either way. Where are the money people that won't put up a few million here and there to for Donald Trump? That decision in New York will be overturned. It's the most absurd thing I've ever heard. But where are the people with money that should – the RNC – I'm not going to have any faith in them no matter what they do. Yeah. They don't go far enough.
Rich, let me answer that question. Yeah, you're right. The big money guys, the multimillionaires, they're running for cover. They're the first people that ought to be in line to help President Trump. And you know there are some out there who could actually cover the entire bond amount. And keep in mind, Rich, this is not like you've got to pay a fine. No, this is just the bond. They're going to get that money back after the appellate courts rule in Trump's favor. So the problem is there are no bonding companies out there that will take on that big of a risk. They just don't have the money to do that.
10 seconds more. Eighth Amendment in the Bill of Rights. It goes, harkens back. Even to Magna Carta and all that stuff. The Eighth Amendment in the Bill of Rights is excessive, unusual fine and bail that prevents a person from. The trouble is that Eighth Amendment was done for capital offenses, usually first offenders, and they need to be more coddled. The Eighth Amendment should cover Donald Trump. It's unusual, excessive, and it breaks every tenet of the Eighth Amendment.
Rich, you are 1,000% correct here, but the problem is they don't care. They don't care what the law says. They don't care about anything. They want to take out Donald Trump, Rich, and they're going to do that come hell or high water, regardless of what the law says. And ultimately, they want that convicted. They want convicted behind Donald Trump's name. That's what they're after. And it's sickening, just absolutely sickening that they're doing this. Rich, God bless you, sir, and thank you for calling, and always enjoy hearing from you. I was on News Nation earlier today, and the anchor was a very nice person, by the way, and it was a good interview. But she asked me about this whole bond situation. And I said, look, here's the deal. I said, this is all about Donald Trump losing his high rises, his property. I said, Letitia James wants to have a big, huge tractor outside of Trump International Hotel in Central Park. And one of those trucks where you've got the buckets, right? And they're going to lift up the bucket and they're going to be chiseling the words T-R-U-M-P off of those buildings. They're going to padlock the front doors of the Trump buildings, and they're going to seize those buildings. And she interrupts me. I actually had a very good thought. And she goes, well, do you really believe that? Really? Do you really believe that? I'm like, of course I believe it. They've been going after this guy for absolutely nothing. Russia, Russia, Russia. The crazy chick at the department store in New York City, Bergdorf Goodman's. The one who told Anderson Cooper, rape sexy. Yeah, yes, they will do anything to destroy this man. But here's where I think they are going to find themselves in hot water. The moment they start removing the letters off of the towers, you watch what happens to Trump's ratings. You watch and see what happens to Trump's approval numbers. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not about the approval numbers. It's not about any of this. This is all about a weaponized government. This is Soviet-style crap here, folks, where they're literally coming in and they're taking Trump's property away from him. And you better believe, if they can do it to Donald Trump, they will do it to you. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to William in North Carolina. William, what's on your mind? Hello, William. All right, so much for that. Going to take a break here, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the phone lines. Chattanooga, Tennessee, John is on the line. Hi, John. What is on your mind today?
Well, that fellow from North Carolina, by the way, great show. Fellow from North Carolina was wanting to reference a Barry Goldwater quote. It's a famous quote. He gave it in his acceptance speech at the 64 Republican Convention. And the quote is, extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice. And it was really quite controversial at the time. A lot of Republicans didn't like to hear that. Goldwater, I'm old enough to remember, he was a little bit like Trump before Trump. A lot of people didn't really care for him. Of course, he had no chance of winning against Johnson with Kennedy having been assassinated and so forth.
Sure.
But I would say,
John, you know, I would say that Goldwater, Pat Buchanan, Donald Trump, and you could put Ronald Reagan in there, but Reagan sort of, you know, he was, again, conservative, but he was a bit more winsome, and he was able to schmooze. The others, not so much schmoozers.
That was the beauty of Reagan. He would turn everything around on people.
Sure would.
And he was really something. But anyway, that's all I had, and I appreciate listening.
John, thank you for calling in. And John is absolutely correct. The line was actually written by his speechwriter, Carl Hess, rather. And delivered with great gusto at the Republican National Convention during his acceptance speech. So Goldwater, William F. Buckley Jr., Ronald Reagan, Pat Buchanan, great conservatives, one and all. Let's go to Kathy, listening to us in Oregon, KYKN, our great affiliate there. Hi, Kathy. How are you today?
I'm good. I'm a little upset about what's happening, but I would love to contribute some money, and I think all Trump supporters would too, whether it's $5, $10, $15, to a defense fund, but I don't do it because I'm too afraid it's a scam. So if it was endorsed from someone like you or Huckabee or somebody that we knew it was a legit donating spot, I do it.
Kathy, I think you're very wise because there are a lot of grifters out there, and they're looking to make a buck off of Trump's name. Let me sniff around and see if there's anything in the works, and we'll reach out to Mar-a-Lago and see what's going on. But
yeah,
Kathy, what do you think though about these multimillionaires? Why can't they help put up, you know, a bunch of them get together and put together this bond?
Money doesn't always give you courage.
Well, or character.
Yep. But I think they're scared. They're just too scared.
Could be. Could be, Kathy. It's a great idea. I'm going to research this, and I'll keep you updated. And if you don't hear me say something on the air, give us a call back. But I'll do my best to try to get that information for you. Is that okay?
Yeah, thanks, Todd.
All right, Kathy, thank you. Again, 901-260-5926 is our number. Well, some news from the nation's top gay rights organization, the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. They call themselves GLAAD. And GLAAD is very upset with all of you people. And by you people, I mean all you heterosexuals. Here's the story. The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation now says the word homosexual is inappropriate. And they say that the word homosexual suggests that homosexuals are psychologically or emotionally disordered, and therefore you should not call homosexuals homosexuals. Now, back in the 1970s, the American Psychological Association and also the American Psychiatric Association, they had actually determined that people with same-sex attractions were suffering from an affliction, a mental illness. But now, well, we're in the 21st century. I mean, we're in a modern society where it's not just male and female, but you've got, what, 78 genders out there? I mean, it's insane. They're coming up with the new stuff every single day. I mean, you can be attracted to an azalea bush. You could be attracted to a laptop computer, a barnyard animal. This is terrible. No, Dylan, it's true. Azalea bushes, they call themselves ecosexuals. Got to watch out for that poison ivy, though. Don't want to be rubbing up against that butt naked. That's going to leave a mark. I need some calamine lotion, please. Thank you. Anyway, so there you have it. Oh, if you can't call people homosexuals, by the way, are you allowed to call people heterosexuals? No, you have to call those people breeders. Come on, Todd, get with the program. I thought, why is Paul Lind in the studio? Hello. So anyway, you can use the term gay. You can use the term Lebanese. You can use the term queer. Those are now considered appropriate terms by the GLAAD people. Now, I think this is fascinating because back in the day, which is like a couple of years ago, the word queer was actually considered an anti-gay slur. Did you know that? You are not, if you called somebody a queer, you could lose your job over that. So you're not, but now you can call people queer. It's okay. And that's because queer is now it's a new choice in the alphabet activist library. So there you go. You can't say gay lifestyle. So that's a no-no. They say that implies that it's all voluntary. So you can't use the term lifestyle to describe your interior decorator. Oh, that's a stereotype, actually. All right, we'll be right back, everybody. Stick around. All right, folks. Our friends over at Newsmax still conducting their big national poll. They want to know who should President Trump pick as his vice presidential running mate. A lot of names being floated around out there. So who do you think President Trump ought to pick? Well, you can cast your vote right now. Take out your smartphone and just text the word SKIP to 39747. That's SKIP to 39747, and you will be able to join the poll. President Trump watches Newsmax all the time and would love to know your opinion. So text the word SKIP right now to 39747. And tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, you'll be able to watch the Todd Stern Show live on Newsmax. By the way, folks, the book is doing very, very well. Day 2, we launched yesterday. You can get a copy at your favorite bookstore, Target, Costco, wherever you get your books. You can also get a signed autographed copy at toddstearns.com. Just click on the store tab at the very top and you'll be able to get all of that information. All right, I want to go right now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, Troy Miller, president and CEO of National Religious Broadcasters. Troy, hope you're doing well today.
I am, Todd. Thank you for having me on. And I just wanted to let you know, I downloaded my copy of your book on my Kindle last night.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for that. Greatly appreciate it. And the audio version, by the way, hopefully coming out. I got to tell you, Troy, you would think it would be easy for a talk guy to record a book. But, man, that's tough work.
Yeah, I'll bet it is. That's a lot of talking in the studio.
Troy, I know you've got a lot of travel coming up, and we're going to get to your trip to Israel coming up in May in just a moment. But there has been a lot of scuttlebutt on Capitol Hill, a lot of hatred and anger delivered towards Israel and specifically Benjamin Netanyahu. And, of course, President Trump coming out in an interview with Sebastian Gorka, who was at NRB and is a great keynote speaker. And he said, you know what, if you are a Jewish Democrat and you're still voting for that party, then you've got a problem. You hate your religion. I would contend that we could make that argument as well on the Christian side of the aisle as well. But I'm curious to get your take on the this rancor and rhetoric up on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, and I would echo that. If you're a Jewish voter and a Democratic voter, I think you hate your religion and your heritage, and probably a lot of your relatives back in Israel as well. It was just unspeakable. It's unconscionable to think that the highest-ranking Jewish Democrat in the Senate Majority Leader, would get on the floor and call for elections in a democracy that's one of our strongest allies across the Middle East. And you have to ask yourself, Todd, what's really behind that? And I don't think it's just the fact that there's a large Muslim contingency in Michigan and Minnesota that they're worried about how they're going to vote this fall. But this is a major push by the far left LGBTQ community, also in this whole CRT movement that looks as Israel somehow as the oppressor and everybody else is the one around them being oppressed. They forget that October 7th was perpetrated by Hamas, not Israel, and Israel's gone above and beyond to try to protect civilians, even when Hamas uses them as shields and puts them in harm's way. So this is just, I don't even know where to go with this. It's just unspeakable.
Well, it is, and it's so confusing on the whole LGBT side, because they're literally throwing those people off of buildings in some of those Muslim countries. So the fact that they're out there protesting and marching alongside people, if they were in the Middle East, may very well toss them over the sides of these buildings. It makes no sense to me, and I just don't think people are. They're either ignorant or they just don't care.
Well, I think they bought into this whole indoctrination. They don't even think through their own causes out there. Because, as you said, if the LGBT community marched in Gaza, in Rafah, in any of the major cities in Gaza, holding up their flags, queers for Palestine, they would be stoned by the populace. Not just Hamas, the populace across Gaza would pick up stones and stone them on the spot. So this indoctrination of this whole leftist idea of this social construct that you divide the world into oppressors and those who are oppressed makes no sense. They don't even see the illogic and where they're going with this in their own cause. In Israel itself, look, I don't agree with it, but if you take Israel is one of the most pro-LGBTQ governments around the world. Gay marriage is legal there. Transgenderism is legal. There's a lot of liberalism in Israel. You'd find more support for their cause in Israel than you ever would in Gaza. So it's just crazy.
We have Troy Miller with us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Hang tight. We're going to be getting to your calls in just a few moments. Troy, I write about this in the book, this notion of Christian nationalism, which I really think is, I just think it's a straw man's, it really is like that, my brain just stopped working, but you get it. It's, I don't think it's a thing, right? The idea that you can't be a Christian, you can't be a proud American, that notion just doesn't sit well with me.
No, Christian nationalism is this boogeyman made up by the left that somehow that means that people who are Christians want our government to establish a national church or some national church is going to be established. That is so far from the truth of people who are Christians in either Christian leadership, pastors across this country, and certainly people that are sitting in the pews. Somehow Christians are the only group that's not allowed to live out their beliefs in the public sector, and particularly in the way they view politics and the way they view the laws that are made in this country. Every other group can do that. You can be, quote, an LGBTQ nationalist. You could be a socialist nationalist. You could be a progressive nationalist, and it's okay to live out your beliefs and the laws that get made in this country and the people you elect, but somehow Christians need to leave that in their church, leave it at home. It's no place in the public sector. Like I said, it's a boogeyman that was created to try to shame people from living out their faith. They're trying to point people as somehow you're pushing your morality, when the truth is everybody who makes laws in this country is pushing some form of morality on another group.
Well, of course they are. And again, I've never been a proponent of turning your church house into some sort of a political rally, you know, on Sundays. But that's up to the individual churches. What do I, you know, that's not my decision to make. But I do believe there is a place in the pulpit for pastors to talk about the big issues of the day. And we have seen that history through, you know, going all the way back to before the country became a country, where the church houses were gathering places. And of course, on election day, our friends over at Wall Builders document all this. There used to be election day sermons, and then people would go out and vote.
Exactly. And if you look at your history, as you said, before the revolution, there was the what was called the Black Robe Regiment, the pastors across the country who were talking about the issues that were important to people's freedom and free exercise of those freedoms. And that's always been the case. And again, this is it's even Todd pastors. And I wish more pastors would talk about cultural issues in the pulpit, not less. But if you look at the number of pastors and even some of the ones they throw up that had a patriotic Sunday or this, you compare that to when they are just simply preaching out of the scripture, and it's no comparison. It's less than 2-3% of what they talk about in their churches as a whole. I wish they talked about it more, but again, it's this boogeyman that's thrown out there to say somehow these Christians are going to force their morality, force their views on everybody else. And I tell you what, it's the church more than anybody who doesn't want to see the government involved in religion, doesn't want to see the government establishing any national religion. You know, a lot of our founders, the Pilgrims, came over because they were persecuted by the state religion within England. It was the Church of England that was persecuting them, and they came here looking for a place of freedom of religion. So the left is just simply trying to shame Christians from actually going out and voting, and I think it's backfiring on them.
Troy, let's talk about the trip you're taking in Israel that's coming up in May. What are you going to be doing there?
So we're going to go in May. We're heading out with a number of Christian leaders on another solidarity trip. First of all, we'll be, again, meeting with and touring some of the communities that were hit hard on October 7th to get a firsthand view and understanding from the survivors of what happened there. Also to show our support, solidarity, and prayers. We know these communities are going to, when the war is over, are going to need help in rebuilding. And, of course, Christians are the first to do charitable work around the world. Christian mission trips have built schools and churches and other things all around the world, and so we're looking at helping when that effort gets underway there as well. And then we'll be meeting with several key people in the Israeli government, rabbis and others, to just let them know, look, it is Christians who are praying for them and standing by them. They're not alone. The left has abandoned most of them, but we're letting them know that Christians are there to support them and pray for them, and when time comes, to help them both physically and monetarily if they need it.
Well, I think this is just terrific. And, folks, if you would like information on what National Religious Broadcasters is up to, be sure to check out their website, nrb.org. That's nrb.org. We've got a link to their page over on our live show blog. Well, Troy, we wish you nothing but the best and safe travels going to Israel.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate it, and thank you for having me on today.
Absolutely. All right, Troy Miller, President and Chief Executive Officer of National Religious Broadcasters. All right, real quick, let's go to the phone lines here. Kim in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN. Hi, Kim, what's on your mind?
Hello, Todd. We love you here, and thank you, sir, for representing America. We the people. We love you.
Thank you.
Yes, I just wanted to add to the young lady's comment who just called in earlier. There are many Americans who would support President Trump, I believe, with just their own money. Laura Ingraham mentioned last evening that if 450 people gave
$1 million. I'm sorry, a million people giving $450, that would take care of his bond. And if people can't give $450, I would love to know whatever organization you're able to locate that you tell us on the air. We would be happy to contribute, many people. I'd also like to, I just maybe have missed something with our legislation. I feel that President Biden is the one that needs to be brought up on charges. He breaks the law every day with the illegal immigrants flying them in. And if he can't be prosecuted while he's president, I feel like he does need to be impeached. I think we've lost our, we're just not seeing this correctly. I feel like the left has become more corrupt every day.
Well, no doubt about that, Kim. And, they really do want to take away everything he owns. They want this man to be homeless. They want him stripped of everything. And it's just, it's despicable. It's un-American. It's criminal. And, when President Trump talks about, it's not payback, but it is payback. But this is justice. There has to be retribution for what the Democrats have done. And this weaponization of the government must stop. And if people need to go to jail because of that, they need to go to jail. And we're going to have to start telling these Republicans in the Congress, Kim, that they're going to have to find their courage and they're going to have to stand their ground, or we're going to give them the heave-ho too.
I agree completely. Thank you, sir.
All right, Kim. God bless you. And Kim is right. We just get a million people to donate that amount. Trump is done. He's good. Good to go. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And folks, I want to encourage you, if you haven't already done so, go to your local bookstore, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and get a copy of my new book, Twilight's Last Gleaming. Or if you would like a signed copy, you can go to my website, toddstearns.com, and you can click on our store and you can get a copy there, which, by the way, is actually cheaper than in store. So just a few dollars cheaper. So check it out. We'll be right back. All right. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to have a great time, ladies and gentlemen. This weekend, I'll be on Huckabee's TV show. We'll be promoting the big book. Also, Americans for Prosperity having a big event coming up in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, on Saturday. I'll be speaking at a breakfast, biscuits and gravy on the menu. And I don't think there are going to be any, tattooed people, as the poor lady at the Cracker Barrel called in early about. That's got to be tough when you got, what's the one, Dylan, have you seen it where they have like clothes, like when you hang clothes out on the line and they've got those hanging off their ears? It's very strange.
Haven't seen that yet. Can't say.
Right. Okay. It's got to be uncomfortable, right?
You would think so.
And the poor people, then they get old and they got those, what do they call them? The gauges. They're like big discs.
Those are like the metal rock stars. They wear those.
And they put them in their earlobes.
Yeah.
And then they hang down, they droop down like it's a National Geographic special.
And if you don't have them in, you just have a really long earlobe.
You look like a beagle. Right?
Yeah.
And there's some mighty big earlobes, son. All right, let's go to Diane in Maine, WLOB. Hi, Diane. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Todd. How are you? Welcome back.
Thank you.
I'm in my car again. My car.
I love it. Is it a gas guzzler? It's not one of those Teslas, is it?
It's a gas guzzler.
All right.
It'll be a gas guzzler. I know your show is almost over with Todd, but I wanted to reach out to people that are listening to you, say a prayer for Peter Navarro, write him, do anything if you're close by, visit him. He is one of the greatest patriots there is in this country. Please, look into your heart for this man. I was going to call you yesterday, but I was bawling when I heard about this. This Democrat Party is running this country just like the Nazis did in World War I and II in the 40s. And if you're a Democrat and you can't see this, you're blind.
And with that, I will bid you a farewell.
All right. Well, Diane, first, thank you so much for calling, and thank you for driving a gas guzzler, too. That means a lot. And I will say this. I'm with you 1,000% there. What they're doing to Peter Navarro is despicable. This is it's evil and it's satanic. And these people are, I don't know if they're possessed by demons, but they are very bad, very evil people. And we've got to get them exorcised out of our government. Got to do it. Diane, God bless you, and thank you for calling in today. Love all of our friends over in Ray Richardson country. Wow, tonight, Rob Schmidt, I'm going to be on his program on Newsmax One promoting the book. We're going to be talking about the book. Also, our great listeners on KQAM in Wichita, Kansas, I'll be on Andy Hoosier's show later this afternoon talking about the book as well. So we got a lot going on. The day started at 4:30 in the morning, and we're going to wrap things up later on this evening. You folks in Memphis, Tennessee, I want you to listen to me. You got some homework today. Now, I know it's hard, but I need you to go out and stand alongside those kids at Turning Point USA at the University of Memphis. We've got to do that. Right? We are peaceful, and we will be peaceful in all that we do. But we've got to know, we've got to send a message to these Black Lives Matter goons that we are not going to back down. Goon squads do not cause us to be afraid. They don't scare us. And so our TPUSA students, you fight the good fight. We're going to be standing right alongside of you. And we're going to keep you updated. We're going to be talking about this at 5 o'clock. Two other TPUSA chapters also under attack. Folks, get out there. Have a great day. You be good, America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.